You're listening to Safety Corner, powered by TCL and S1, for workers, by workers. Online and in-person health and safety programs and training available in 10-plus languages. Reach out to them at www.mys1.ca and DM them at my_S1 for more information.
Bon dia.
Almost bought that.
It's not that late.
No, no, it's not. No, we've got some time. Doubleheader today. What's going on, Phil? Give me the gist. One sentence, elevator pitch. What are we talking about today?
Trenches.
Oh, we going deep?
Deep, deep.
Okay, we're going under.
Like 6 feet deep.
Can we bury some politicians in those trenches?
I'm not in a rush to bury anybody anymore.
I am.
Start Manny, with Ford. Can we not start off start our with podcast?
Ford. Start with it. I want to do a purge, politician purge.
Oh my God.
No, what do we, are we going to do a talk a little bit of politics before we get into trenches?
We're skipping politics on this one.
Okay.
All right. We're jumping straight into trenches.
Navigate me there, old captain.
I got some gears to grind today.
With?
With a couple of recent
individuals
court decisions.
Oh.
So we're going to jump into it. And first thing, I want to shout out to everyone that watches our show, everyone that provides us feedback. You know, just from my perspective, it's not easy being a safety professional to come out here and do the podcast. I enjoy it and I love it and I'm passionate about it. But, you know, in our business, what you say is extremely important. People listen to the things that you say. You know, as safety professionals, you know, we agree on some things, we agree on different interpretations and different ways of viewing things. And me, myself, you know, I'm familiar with a lot of different regulations. I've read a lot of different regulations. And, you know, sometimes you just forget. And sometimes you just kind of remember something one way and forget that there is another regulation that kind of cancels out that previous regulation. And sometimes you're just old and you have brain farts, right? So, you know, the reason I'm saying that is because, you know, on some recent podcasts, I'll be the first to admit that I've said some stuff that's incorrect in terms of the regulations.
There was one thing.
There's been a couple already, but it's, you know, we're adapting. And that being said, you know, when it comes to my opinions, I stand by my opinions, hands down. But when it comes down to the regulation, our goal is always to make sure that we're providing the most up-to-date, specific, correct information when it comes to the regulations. And even as an MOL inspector, you know, there's been times where I'll say something on a job site, someone will disagree with how I've read that or how I've interpreted. You know, you go back to your truck, you double, triple read it and take a look at all the applicable regulations to that scenario. And then you're like, okay, well, maybe they are correct. Maybe I can't apply it this way. You know, let's find another way how we can approach this and solve this problem. So, you know, it's me being here on the podcast, I already know that there's going to be people scrutinizing and double checking and fact checking and stuff like that. So preemptively, we are going to start another section on this show. And preemptively, what I'd like to do.
I was never made aware of this.
Okay. Hey, surprise, surprise, surprise. We have a new episode or a new section on our show, and we're going to call it Wrong Answers Only. So we've decided to ask a few of our friends in the safety business to fact check us, or fact check me, not fact check you, okay. Man, but fact check me.
To be honest, I'll ignore it.
Yeah, I know you will, but I won't in terms of the regulations. And there's been a couple times where I've said things that when it comes to the regulations are completely incorrect. So we'd like to clarify a couple of things. I know, but listen, I like providing correct information when it comes to the regulation.
I remember
the
ocean not in French thing. I remember that comment.
Yeah, so okay. Our section here is wrong answers only. And anytime that we get fact checked by our safety professionals, and I encourage it, and please, you know, I'm human. And
or tradespeople in general, business owners in general.
Well,
anybody in the construction industry.
Anybody that knows the regulations.
Yeah, that's right? Paying attention, doing their homework.
100%. So we're going to be getting fact checked. And if anything comes up that we feel that we need to clarify on a further episode, we're going to add it to this list. So far, first incorrect thing I've said, Occupational Health and Safety Act is not in French. I was wrong.
It's in French.
It's in French.
Quebecois French or French French? Real French.
French.
I like upsetting Quebec.
French. And other regulations are also available in French. I've just never encountered them because it is what it is.
It makes sense. Canada's bilingual, even though they lost the war. Go ahead and argue all you want.
Yep, it is what it is. Number two, tie-off only required on an elevated work platform while in motion. So that regulation was in place for as long as I can remember, and my brain recorded it in the Rolodex of information.
Do you remember when it changed?
From what I've been told, 2016 or 2017.
So recent, relatively.
Well,
less than a decade.
And basically what the additional regulation, so the regulation that requires tie-off only in motion is still there, but they added an additional regulation, which is regulation or section 148E, that deals with self-propelled elevated work platforms. And if you're on a self-propelled elevated work platform or vehicle-mounted boom-style platform, you need to be tied off at all times.
And now, on the last episode, I shared my opinion on that.
In terms of tying off, in terms of ejection, in terms of if it's going down, would you rather be tied off or not tied off? Yeah, I listen, based on that conversation, I think the consensus over here at this table was more tests. They should tie some dummies there and see what happens.
Yeah, I made a comment about politicians.
You did. Somehow you squeeze politics right back into it again, man. Yeah, I know, Manny. I know. But there's an election here. You're going to have a chance to vote. Maybe we should come
First
up
of all, I will vote. And any of you young guys who don't vote, I'm going to smack you. I personally will smack you.
What was that?
You need to vote.
What was that shirt that they were wearing in New York during that election? I can't remember, presidential. It said vote or die. You guys remember that? No,
I don't know.
I think it was P. Diddy.
You need to vote. I'm not suggesting who you should vote for. I'm just saying you should vote. You have the right to vote. Vote.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, 100%. I've voted in every single election.
I have too.
But anyways, so you are required to tie off at all times. But again, this section that we're implementing now, you know, I encourage our fact checkers to take a look. And if I say something in terms of a regulation, if you don't like my opinion, that's too bad. But if I say something regarding a regulation and I need to be corrected, I will be the first one to say I was wrong.
I think you need to add a third category there.
What's that?
Well, because it brings up the argument, not argument, the heated discussion that was brought on regarding the powers that are avoided from the Charter of Rights regarding the Ministry of Labor.
Well, listen, this comes down to...
Because a lot of people were disagreeing with you, but what you were saying was correct.
Yeah. Listen, some people may not agree with what I say, all right? But I encourage them to find me the regulation or find the section.
They can't find it because it's
which
correct.
Which is a different story, yeah. Right? And so we're only entertaining safety professionals that can pull a regulation and correct me via the law and not via
opinion. That's a very good point. If you want to fact check and bring it, you better bring the case study associated with it.
And listen, again, as being an inspector, as being a consultant, as having clients, you know, you're committed to providing the most accurate and correct information at all times when you're having discussions regarding the law and how the law is being applied, right? But... You know, part of being on a podcast is willing to take the punches. Part of having an Instagram account and voicing your opinions, you get followers and you're willing to lose followers and have people, you know, not agree with you and speak up. And, you know, so I personally think this is what safety is about. I think it's a way to start the conversation. Whether you agree or don't agree, you know, there are a lot of similar passions, a lot of similar goals, a lot of similar things that people want to achieve, right? And having the conversation is where it starts, right? Whether you're right, whether you're wrong, it may be. But we're going to have this ongoing now. And anytime we get corrected, we'll add something to the list and we'll share so far what we have to that list. And hopefully it's a learning experience for everybody.
Now that Phil's done with his disclaimer, everyone can hear my disclaimer. And my disclaimer is I don't give a shit. I don't care if you disagree with my opinion. It's my opinion. If you want to start your own show, by all means, start your own show.
I
just say it as it is. Phil brings up stuff and I'm like, yay or nay on it. And I agree or disagree. Whether it's right or wrong, it's still my opinion. So.
Listen, my opinion during COVID was, you know, it was all ridiculous. A lot of people disagreed with me. A lot of people, you know, family and safety professionals, when I asked questions, why would I wear this mask that's not fit tested and has holes in it? You know, a lot of people disagreed with me. But one thing I can say, I'm glad that I took that position because I'm not vaccinated against COVID.
I did enjoy,
and I have no regrets.
I did enjoy Brian Kudel talking about how we had a shared laugh where it's like you needed to be masked up to jerk off.
You want to
check out that show soon?
Was he in the site washroom? Like, come on, man. All right.
So that's all done. It's all good. Whatever.
It's out of
the
way.
The whole point is, and what's really important here is that we're basically stirring a conversation about safety.
Yeah,
that's what's important.
And on different different levels. And you know, some of these upper echelon safety professionals, corporate say, oh, Phil, you know, this and that. I get it. But we are speaking to a very wide range of an audience, from corporate safety to seasoned safety professionals to new safety professionals to new workers to small businesses to medium businesses, you know, through social media, through our podcast. And we're reaching corners of this industry that have never even been visited by any of these people.
They're right? Too afraid.
Well, listen, whether they're afraid, whether they don't want to touch it, whether it's too much work, whether it's too much of a challenge, who knows? But what I know is that we're going places and talking about things that aren't being discussed, and they need to be discussed. So are we going to ruffle some feathers? Yes. But that being said, when it comes to the regulations and how clients should follow, or companies and workers should follow these regulations, I want to be 100%. That's my commitment to my clients and my commitment to my profession, right? And I'm a stickler for that. So going forward, that's the drill. You got something to clarify or something that you want me to correct?
Engage.
Engage and come to the knife fight, right? So bring your regulations and add them up and let's talk about them. And I'm willing, as always, to correct my position.
Trenches.
That being said, let's get into one of the top four killer contraventions
number
of
two?
Workers. It varies. It all depends.
I always thought that falls was number one.
Top four, top five.
Yeah, okay.
Falls is usually number one. I think falls has taken first place.
Oh, man, look at that, eh? Falling into a trench. That's like a doubleheader.
Yeah, there's another falls scenario, right? But we're going to get into trenches and how they kill workers and what are the contributing causes. Obviously, the most apparent one is the collapse of a trench, right? That's
no shoring.
Oh, no shoring, no trench boxes. No trench boxes. Right? So let's talk about trenches. You know what? Before we even go into all these points, we're going to watch this video right here. So this video is a worker that is inside a trench that is protected by a trench box.
Is this Scarborough?
I actually don't want to say where it is.
It's Canada? No, it can't be Canada.
All righty, ready to watch?
Okay, yep. It's a lot of earth. And if there's a person there.
The chances of you. So basically, in a nutshell, 1 cubic meter of soil, depending on the type of soil and how much water is in it, et cetera, you're looking at about 2,000 pounds. Okay. And the thing with a trench, you don't have to be fully buried. You just have to be kind of buried up to your chest. Why? Because so much pressure is being applied to your chest and your lungs.
You can't expand.
You can't expand. You can't take that breath. So you can die of asphyxiation inside a trench.
Even if you're buried mid-chest or?
It's going to depend on which level it is, how much weight, et cetera, but that is one
way. Instinctively, I guess, as a human, you begin to breathe a lot faster.
Hey, adrenaline running, a situation like this, there is a variety. We got a couple other videos here, but there is a variety of ways, or there's a variety of hazards associated to fatalities and injuries inside of a trench. So the most apparent one, we have cave-ins or collapses.
Which is what we just saw.
A collapse of a trench in an area that is unprotected. Okay. Now, we can look at trenches from various degrees, from a trench being done on a city street because they have to go in and repair some pipes or something along those lines. You can look at trenches where I'm opening up the side of the house to get into the bottom for basement leak repair. Okay. You can look
waterproofing.
At waterproofing.
Yeah.
That's the short. Yeah. Waterproofing.
Waterproofing.
You know, trenches that are being, and this I think is where a majority of these trench collapses happen here in the GTA and Ontario, where opening up services from the house to the street, you have a trench and workers are in there and those trenches fail. It might be where the majority are.
Here's a question for you, Phil. If you don't want to use a trench box or you don't want to shore and you need to excavate an 8-foot deep hole, what's the stepping ratio that you have to consider?
So depending on, and we're going to get into it, but depending on the type of soil is going to depend on how you can slope that excavation.
So the more saturated the soil, the fewer this climb?
There's four types of soil, and we'll jump into it a little bit.
Okay, I'm getting ahead of you. There's four, right, no problem.
I appreciate your questions, man. Yeah, man. Those are the most important things.
Because I want people to understand that, okay, fine, we can't do a trench box, but I can step it here.
Right, and step it, slope it.
Yeah.
Again, depending on the type of soil, right? Type one is the most hardest, dense soil and goes all the way to type four.
Clay or whatever. Okay.
Which goes to sand.
So it was based on KPA, compression of the soil?
There's a couple of visual identifiers, but in some of these cases, an engineering report would be required.
Geoengineer. Yep. Yes. Okay. I got
right?
it.
Right. Depending. But again, a majority of stuff in Toronto, GTA, stuff like that, is just previously excavated soil.
Yeah, so we have a record of what the soils are like in different areas of the city.
Yeah, and listen, if you've been in construction long enough, you go to Oakville, and the mud on your boots is more red than if you go to Scarborough, where
the only
mud
difference
on your
is water table. That's all it is.
No, there's a bunch of differences. And this regulations, the regulations that deal with trenches and excavations is quite extensive. Quite extensive. We don't have enough time in an hour. This class in itself could be a 2-day class. Okay. But
I signed up for a class. Okay. All right.
Manny, this whole podcast, every episode should be a class.
I want my certificate.
Yeah, you're going to get
did
it.
I pay for this course?
Yeah, it's okay. Free. Cave-ins, collapses. Those are the number one contributing factors or number one hazards. Equipment or excavated soil falling on workers. Okay? So you can have equipment. There is one fatality, one of the previous guests on our show, they did a fatality where they had excavated, the worker was in the trench, he was protected, but they had connected a bucket to the machine using the quick connect, and then the worker was in there and he was removing soil, or the operator was removing soil. Somehow the bucket disengaged from the machine and the whole bucket just crushed the guy.
Wow.
Right? So there are situations like that. You can have rocks falling into an excavation, loose objects on the slopes of that. Sometimes the walls of an excavation need to be protected from loose objects and material falling in. You can have vibration from the machine, water. King City, last year, we had a worker die in a trench because of a sudden inrush of water, meaning there was a massive downpour and they were kind of on a slope and the water all just came running in, and that worker was inside. There's a couple workers inside. One managed to get out. I don't know the exact specifics. I know we had posted
the
it
soil
on
Instagram. Got all loose from the water.
It's just the water, the mud, the collapse, the cave-in. The guy was in there, and one guy managed to get out. The other guy drowned, possibly. Right?
Okay.
So that comes down to flooding or water accumulation inside the trench. Exposures to hazardous atmospheres, right? Depending on the work that's being done inside that trench, you could be exposed to gases, propane,
what
methane.
Underground utilities are there? Yeah.
That comes down to, if you contact the gas line, that's not going to be a good time either, right? So contact.
Nobody ever wants to hear that whistle.
No.
Nobody ever wants to hear that whistle.
So contact with buried service lines.
Yep.
Right. Contact with overhead electrical lines. Mm-hmm. That might not be necessarily associated with the trends, but having machinery
excavation,
and equipment.
Yeah, machinery.
Overhead power
extending
lines.
Extending your arm. Yeah. Yes.
And then being struck by moving machinery or by falling or flying objects. And this doesn't even encompass all of the hazards associated. If we keep on digging more, I'm sure we can find more hazards associated with
trenches.
No
pun intended. Yeah, I get it.
Right? So why is this, in the top four killer contraventions? Because trenches happen a lot in our city. We're digging trenches on multiple.
Every job site. Any new structure job site.
Sure, you're digging excavations and protection of adjacent structures and making sure that the next building doesn't fall into your excavation.
Utilities,
shoring.
Yeah.
We dig a lot of holes. Maybe that's the best way to say it. We dig a lot of holes, right? So
I've got a question for you.
Yes, go ahead, Manny.
A vac excavation.
Yeah.
Are you required shoring?
It depends on what work is taking place, and it depends on whether workers are going in.
I did a job.
Okay.
The plumber was clever. on getting the vac there and the utility. So this is for water access for the key lock. Normally there's a procedure, but then he suggested something which made them arrive much sooner. They came in and vacced it to remove all the earth around the key. And
I'm listening.
So here's made a hole that was like 2 foot by 2 foot, but that key went down about 6-7 feet. The utility worker went down to make the connection
in a 6-foot or 7-foot hole that was excavated using water, high pressured water, but water,
and sucked out.
Sure, but water,
but no shoring. That's illegal. I questioned it, but I was dismissed.
Of course.
And the worker just dove right in, made the connection, jumped out, backfilled it with gravel, tamped it with some temporary asphalt, and walked away.
Yep.
Did that? But technically illegal.
Did that worker roll the dice?
Of course.
100%. That worker rolled the dice. And unfortunately, with trenches, there's been a lot of, you know, all the stories that you hear of a worker dying in a trench are sad. Obviously, right? You know, but there's some worse, I won't say worse, but some of these fatalities that have happened where it's the father with the two sons. This is an actual case where the father was with the two sons and then the son got buried alive and then the other one went to help, or the father went to help and then he got buried, right? So you have some of these situations, right, where it's just like the stories that you hear is just really tragic. You know, and then even a shout out to the first responders, because they respond to these situations and you'll see firefighters jumping right in, shovel and all, trying to help and trying to save. And the walls of the excavation are unstable or something along those lines. And in some of these rescue operations, and unfortunately, a majority of these are not rescue operations, they're retrieval operations. You know, how some of these emergency personnel haven't got injured, so that kind of surprises me too.
But vac excavation is pretty common nowadays because it's a lot easier to do it, right? But I didn't notice any shoring boxes or panels or nothing on the truck. I saw the truck. The truck's pretty impressive. You got a big suction, 8-inch, 10-inch hole or whatever it is. Wow. You got a big belly of the truck. You see this beautiful truck, and all of a sudden, you see this earth being removed in seconds, not minutes, not hours.
No, that thing's high pressure. There's actually a fatality once where a worker cut his own throat with the wand because it's such high pressure.
Yeah, it's 3,500 PSI. That could actually burn right through your skin.
It cut the worker's throat, and he ended up bleeding out and died.
I know a worker, a painter, just was taking the paint gun. And just how, you know, you grab a drill and you just hit the trigger.
Yeah.
Boom, boom. Shot it at his finger.
Lost a chunk of his finger.
No, the finger turned color-ish. Left it alone for a day. Went to the hospital after the third day because the color got really very bad. Rainbow. And discovered that the paint went in and started fusing with his blood.
Yeah.
And they had to open it up to remove all the paint that was in his system. And there was a moment there that the finger was going to get severed because it could have carried on through his system. And that was a normal paint gun spraying at about 3,000 PSI, just shooting it right at your finger.
Yeah. Hey, listen, man.
Nobody thinks that.
No. The crazy thing about construction is that there's literally a million ways that you can get injured. There's probably a million ways you could die. Right, you know, it's
just reminded me of that trench that they never put a box, they never put anything. Did the work in seconds, like they were done in 10 minutes.
Listen, if you're on social media, man, you see it a lot. You even see with some employers that are posting certain things and on their page and stuff like that, right? So it kind of all depends. It kind of depends on the scenario, kind of depends on the situation. But one thing's for sure, when I see these trenches, man, and I've gone in them. I've gone down shafts. I've gone into tunnels, you know, and you're down there and, you know, you're like, holy shit. It kind of reminds me of, you know, when you bury somebody at a funeral, you know, and the cemetery, and they dig it out and 6 feet down, you know, that's what it kind of reminds me of. But let's keep going here because I got some gears to grind.
You bring up a good point. excavation of burial plots.
Do those guys tie off or have any protection when they drive?
Are they shoring?
No, but they kind of lowered it in. I don't know, last time you've been to a funeral.
But it's been a little while, unfortunately. Yeah. But the thing is, I guess they use machinery. They'll never walk. No, they get into
go,
the box.
They don't go inside.
Okay. They don't all go right, inside. I was just thinking about that.
Kind of weird, no? You're digging a hole to put to bury somebody, but the live person is inside that hole where that other person is going to be going. I don't know, man. It's just...
Moving on. Okay.
Yeah, you know, moving on.
Soil types.
So you got different types of soils, and you know the employer that's digging the trench is required to identify the soil type first, because depending on the soil type will the will depend on sloping, benching, yeah. You know what type of controls you're going to put into place. But again, constraints, right? Physical constraints, area constraints. It's a trench. It needs protection before any worker goes in. And that's it, right? Just keep it simple, you know? But the reality...
As far as I know, every job site nowadays needs a geo survey of what the soil is before you start the project.
Now listen, someone that's competent can determine the soil type. Mm-hmm. Okay? You don't need to be an engineer. But that being said, depending on the scenario, depending on what the scope of the work is, engineering may be required, et cetera, et cetera. If you... design this thing for no matter what the soil type is, I'm just going to slope it right from the base on a one-to-one slope, you're good.
It's better than not doing it.
Right. The reason that they don't slope from the base is because we do not have the space to do that. How do you slope from the base when you're digging a trench on Jane Street? Right? You can't. It's going to be straight cut.
Another question.
Shoot.
Excavating between homes. We know homes that are generally in Toronto... 2 to 3 feet between homes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes even in a subdivision, you might get 4 or 5 feet between homes. Sure. If you excavate all of that, are you required for shoring? Probably not, because you've got foundation wall. As long as you get to the foundation wall on both sides, you don't require shoring, only on the face of it.
All right, so there has to be the hazard of collapse there. It has to be, it is considered a trench. Right? That's a good question. I don't know.
I'm just assuming the two ends of soil that are still exposed, but the foundation side, if you go right to the foundation side and you're excavating, you don't need a box or shoring there.
Listen, I would want protection because the trench can come in from this way, right?
You know, that's what I'm saying. The two ends of live soil.
Trench box. I'm going to say
trench box. But not on the foundation wall side.
Here's another scenario. You got low-rise forming guys or let's take the low-rise forming guys. They got their excavation, and the excavation goes up 4 feet, and then it's sloped back. Then you put in the wall of...
Forming?
The form. You put in the form, you got the concrete wall. The worker is required to go into that little space, right, between the wall of the basement... Right? And that little space required to be 18 inches. Okay? Can't be less than 18 inches. And then you have 4 feet and then slope back. Oh, what happens if it's not 4 feet? Well, let's say it's 6 feet. Is that going to be considered a trench, or is that still considered an excavation?
No, it's a trench.
I say it's a trench.
Yeah.
Right? Because that worker is in there and the soil comes down and you're buried alive. That you got nowhere to go.
Yeah.
Right? An excavation would mean that it's wider than it is deeper. You have space, you know. But then you look at an excavation for a low-rise house versus an excavation for a 40-story building versus, you know, so you got different types of excavations, different types of shoring, depending on the trench, depending on this, depending on that. A lot of variables. But bottom line, don't get anything that is deeper than 4 feet without being protected. Yes. That's the bottom line. Right? So precautions are sloping, trench boxes, and shoring. Now, like I said, this can easily be a full day class or a 2 day class just on trenching alone. But there's a recent case that a court bulletin that came out, and we're going to talk about this one, Manny.
Okay.
Okay. So
moving on to the next slide. Oh, you blocked it out. Mabel Construction Company.
Fined after 4 workers injured, 2 fatally.
2 of them dead.
Okay. This was...
Yeah, no, it was a 0-0, man. Seriously, you're missing 0-0.
Hold on a sec, man. Okay. Hold on. We're going to really jump into this one, but let's kind of put this one in perspective. And before I go and read the breakdown like we normally do, we're going to kind of look at this case. Okay. So...
Uh-oh.
That's the trench. So to you, is that a trench or an excavation?
No, that's a trench.
That's 100% a trench, right?
It's deeper than it is. On the edge of the soil, yeah.
Okay, so this trench collapsed. And again, I'm going to put this into context before we go and read the results. Okay, so we had a trench. We had workers here. Now, when this double fatality happened, you know, in the safety industry and people in construction, you hear about something like this and you're like, holy shit, right? It's a small knit community when it comes to employers that do this type of work. And especially in the safety industry, you know, people know. Okay. So this happened. Now, two workers died as a result of this trench collapse. Two workers were critically injured. This is a unionized project, just to put it out there.
So all four were inside there.
All four were inside. Okay. I don't know all of the specifics. I do remember posting this situation. Obviously, it's a double fatality. You know, any fatality, one fatality is obviously bad. But when you start getting into multiple fatalities, you know, you're this some shit went down.
You got some measurements there just to give people who are not watching some perspective here. I'm assuming that's 4 or 5 feet wide on the narrow side and probably about 20 or 25 feet long on the long side.
Yeah, and deep.
And deep, it looks like it's past 8.
I'll say it's past 10.
Yeah, and then you've got an excavator and you've got a backhoe.
Yep, and then the massive collapse there.
And I'm assuming that piping is probably 3 feet in diameter. All right.
Yeah, give or take. So with this case, you know, rumors fly right away. But, you know, fortunately, you know, between social media and the people that we're familiar with in the industry, you know, we started to get some of the firsthand information on this case. So some firsthand information. The owner of the company was on site.
Was on site?
On site.
Supervising?
The son of the owner was the supervisor.
Okay.
Okay. They were both on site. There were trench boxes at this project. You can't see it in the picture unless this.
They're on the truck.
Unless that is a trench box, but I don't think so. I think it's just some sheets of plywood there.
Yeah. Okay.
But the trench box was on site. The trench box was not inside the trench. And the trench box was inadequate for the depth, the length, and where these workers were working. It wasn't even put into place. Okay. So there was no trench box here. Okay. Again, the owner of the company was on site. The supervisor was on site. The site supervisor and their trailer was within visual distance of this trench. So you're the site supervisor sitting on your trailer playing Candy Crush. And instead of looking at this trench and looking at this lack of trench box that's in place, they didn't say anything, I guess. And when it came down to this incident, and it's funny because on Instagram, we get a lot of videos and a lot of things that people send to us. And I received a picture taken by one of the operators of the dump trucks of the guys inside this trench.
Oh.
At this project.
What information did you see?
I saw four guys in a trench. This trench. Without any trench boxes in place. Now, did I post it? No. I didn't because it was an active investigation. And, you know, maybe it wasn't that trench. And maybe it wasn't that case. And maybe it was something else. And, you know, so I couldn't accurately say it was. And I don't want to be throwing these curveballs out in the air. But I can confirm that it was. So, you know, there's evidence. And obviously the trench box wasn't in play. Now, let's kind of...
Before you go forward, I just got a question about if you guys have ever looked at a scenario. Is it worth anybody who goes into a trench to be wearing a harness? And the reason I bring that up, has any study been done? If you're wearing a harness, you could hook onto the harness and lift the person out of the trench in a collapse situation. Is that a variable?
Who are you looking at?
No, I'm just asking. I'm asking the two safety people, the professionals in the room here.
I didn't hear the question.
Would you be required to wear a harness while you go into a trench? So if you do have a collapse, you can hook them on and lift them out with the excavator. Has anybody done any kind of studies on that? Is that a valid?
What would be the purpose of the harness?
To pull them out of the dirt.
Well, that would be step two or step three, and your job is to avoid step one, which is the collapse of that trench.
So I'm just saying, if the worker walks in there with a harness, he or she has a better chance.
What are they tied off to? There's a bunch of variables.
Yeah,
the easiest solution to this situation is prevent the trench from collapsing. Prevent the trench, right?
I get it.
And again, yes, retrieval and stuff like that. But
I was just curious.
Anyway, so before we even show what's on the screen, when this case happened, you know, it sent ripples across the entire industry.
How recent was this? When did it happen?
This happened in 2022.
Wow, recent. Okay.
Okay. This sent ripples, and there was already talk that this case was going to be Metron 2.0, meaning criminal charges. Why? The trench box wasn't there. We had two fatalities. The trench box was on site and wasn't placed inside the trench. The owner of the company was on site and directed the workers. The supervisor was on site and directed the workers. The site supervisor was on the project, and the trench didn't just start that morning. That trench had been going on for a few days, and the trench and the site supervisor did not ensure that the trench box was in place. So there is a failure all across that entire organizations and the entire internal responsibility system, entire management and supervision. Fail. In my opinion, the owner of this company should have been charged as a director. The son or the supervisor should have been charged. The supervisor of this project should have been charged. And the constructor should have been charged. Mm-hmm. And there should have been criminal charges for this case.
Why are you using past pronouns? Like, what's going on here?
Let's read it. On August 8, 2024, Direct Underground had been contracted to install a storm sewer for the road widening project. Six workers employed by the company were installing a new catch basin system. While four workers were in the excavation, and I'll let you guess who the other two workers were not in the excavation. And again, this is not an excavation. It's a trench. And
why is it being written as an excavation, though?
This bulletin, I don't know who wrote it, but they whitewashed the shit out of it. Six workers were in the excavation to install the system. The north wall of the excavation collapsed, resulting in fatal injuries of two of the workers and non-fatal injuries to two other workers. That's not non-fatal. Critical injuries. To what I understand, one of these workers ended up being paralyzed. A Ministry of Labor, Immigration, Training and Skills Development investigation found that the excavation, again, not an excavation, trench wall had a weaker layer of soil present, which was classified as type 3, which a majority of the soil in Toronto is, per regulation 21391. This required shoring or appropriate sloping of the walls. I'll say it required a trench box of the walls to prevent unstable conditions leading to collapse. The investigation also found that there was no engineering opinion on the stability of the excavation wall and no support system slash trench box installed for the weaker layer of soil. It doesn't say trench box, but Direct Underground failed to ensure that the walls of the excavation were supported by a shoring system or appropriate sloping of the walls that complied with section 235, 236, 237, 238, 239, 241, as required by section 234. Sub 1 of the regulation, contrary to 25.1c.
This is being written in a specific way.
It sounds like it's being written in a specific way, number one. And number two, just from that picture alone, there's at least five contraventions there. And now add in, supervisor failed to ensure this, 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 and this. Employer failed to ensure this, 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 and this. Constructor failed to ensure this, 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 and this. Supervisor, project supervisor, failed to ensure this, this, this. Where are those charges? And when it comes down to the Ministry of Labor laying these charges, they need to be public. We are charging this company with 25 charges.
So what charges did they get?
They got found guilty on one.
On one charge? And what was that one charge?
Section 234.1.
And that is what?
We'd have to pull up the regulation.
They failed to do what?
Probably sloping or trench.
Based on what they're saying, a shoring system or appropriate sloping.
Yeah.
That's what they failed to do.
So the talk of the town was, this is going to be Metron 2.0. The eyes, everything lined up here. This was a slam dunk case. Okay? And I don't know who the inspector was on this case, but I'm sure they recommended a bunch of charges. Okay?
But they only got charged one.
They only pled guilty on one.
Oh, so this is a plea.
Yeah, there's only one charge here.
So then, okay, so it never went to trial.
Correct. So the MOL inspector recommended, and it's hard not to recommend, a ton of charges here to all of the workplace parties. Okay, this is a double fatality. And again, one fatality, two fatalities, three fatalities, four. This is a fatality situation. This is not some Mickey Mouse stuff. Okay, and could this have been prevented? 100%.
Of course.
Grab the trench box, put it in the trench.
Of course, yeah.
That's it. And it's hard for an owner or director of a corporation to say, oh, I didn't know, I wasn't there, I wasn't there. We say this, we say that, we say, no, you're standing right there. The supervisor sent you guys in and knew that the trench box was not there. Shit, you could see the trench box.
Yeah.
And it's not in the hole. Okay? So this case that went wound its way here, we have to understand. The MOL inspector does the investigation, drops a list of charges. Every single charge that they have evidence for. And there's a lot of evidence here. And there's a lot of charges.
They're not going to submit charges that they don't have follow-up for them.
Well, not follow-up, but evidence.
Yeah.
Right? Then it goes to management at the MOL. They sign off on it.
Before it gets submitted to?
The Ministry of Attorney General and before all the process starts. Summonses and all that stuff. So someone at the MOL signed off on all these charges. Yeah, yeah, you have adequate evidence. Yes, the evidence is there. Yes, yes. That connects. Yep, check, check, check. I put in my signature on this. Let's send it to the Ministry of Attorney General.
And
this is where the magic happens. Right? So they take this case. They take it. They play with it. They communicate. They do their thing. Right? How does, I guarantee you there's at least 10 charges here. How does at least 10 charges get pled down to one charge in a double fatality? How does this case not get charged criminally, and how is there not an investigation in criminal negligence causing death? These are the questions that the safety world is asking right now. How the hell did this happen? Because it shouldn't have happened. Okay, and we're not talking about the incident. We're talking about the process to where I pled guilty on one. Now, you know, these workers were unionized. The union plays a role in this investigation and assisting and benefits and helping the workers and the families and stuff. And they kind of do their own investigation, right? And, you know, you get different information from different sources and stuff like that. But when these players are all done playing with this and it gets to the Ministry of Attorney General, that lawyer now has to, and the lawyer on this case was David McCaskill. That lawyer now has to wheel and deal, or they can just go to court. They don't have to wheel and deal, especially with a case like this. But the employer and the defense lawyer will try to wheel and deal. I'll plead guilty on one, you drop all of these other ones, right? And, you know, there was talk when this was going on because, you know, people talk. You know, I one person told me, and I don't know if this is correct, but I can see this happening, that the employer offered $500,000 to settle this case as long as the son didn't get charged. Now, whether or not that's correct, but my source of information, it's very valuable and I trust them. So that being said, there are some wheeling and dealing going on with this case. And it doesn't take away from the due process. It doesn't take away from it does take away from the due process and does take away from justice. You know, this one was bad, man. And they're all bad, but this one was bad. And this one's a slam dunk. I've done a lot of cases.
So what happened?
I don't know.
Well, but I want to know who. Okay, so who's the one that got charged?
So
the old man?
The only charge that stuck on this case was the charge to the organization, the employer. That's it. The employer failed to insure. Okay. The director of the corporation was not charged. The supervisor.
Just the employer?
Just the organization. Right? Just the employer. The supervisor was not charged. The project supervisor was not charged. The constructor was not charged.
All four workers were unionized and legal Canadian citizens?
I don't know. I'm guessing so if they're unionized.
They would have to be legal.
You'd like to think so. Right? But
not that the unions ever hired illegals.
I don't know. Side note. But this result for what has happened may be the biggest injustice besides COVID and the abuse of workers' rights that has happened in the last 10 years.
So what was the fine that they paid?
Right. What are you expecting this fine to be, Manny?
My fines are always seven figures, okay?
Oh, drop. What would you expect on a double fatality where everyone was negligent and everyone didn't give a shit?
It's going to be less than 100 grand.
And the trench box was there and they didn't put it in. And the director told them to go in the hole. And the supervisor told them to go in the hole. And two guys died and the other guys got...
It's less than 100 grand based on this.
Sorry, I'm a little riled up, man.
It's a little fiasco going on here. It's less than 100 grand. 250. Still small.
$250,000 to an organization that I'm sure profits millions.
So Maple Construction Company hired Direct Underground.
No, Maple Construction Company fined. I don't know why they put Maple. They didn't even want to put the name of the company here. Location. So let's read it. Four workers were injured, two of them fatally during the installation of a new underground water system. Direct Inc. failed as an employer to ensure that the walls of the excavation were supported by a shoring system or appropriately sloped as required. Okay, $250,000 for a double fatality. Didn't we do an episode a couple weeks where a supervisor got charged $200,000 because a worker got electrocuted, did not die? And the ball of tape had shot out. Remember the ball of tape went through the pipe, shot out.
Yeah.
Some random scenario there, and they got charged $200K. This is a double fatality where these people were negligent, man. A double fatality and double critical.
One of them is possibly paralyzed, you were saying?
Yeah. Right? Well, I guess 250K?
Cost them 750K.
Cool.
With the envelope.
Listen, I definitely think that, and this has happened before, where the Ministry of Labor, along with the Ministry of Attorney General, has appealed a decision, and this happened in the Metron case, because the employer, Metron,
they appealed it?
So Metron originally got fined, I think it was $300,000 or $250 or something for the quadruple fatality, and the lawyers and the Ministry of Labor, I don't know exactly who, but they decided to appeal that fine, that court decision. They appealed it and they managed to get the $750. Now, whether or not they collected the $750, that's a different story. But like this is an insult.
Why is it like, I guess there's a bigger story to all this, but I'm assuming the families of the fallen workers, why aren't they going after the company and suing them civilly? Like, I don't understand.
I don't know. Maybe they are
signing an NDA saying, listen, we'll give you $125 for each of your losses. And you got to sign this to go away.
You know, Manny, there's more civil suits that happen in the United States versus Canada and the U.S. Canada and Ontario. Our system is set up a little differently. You know, we have WSAB. We got compensation for these things and this and that. You know, I think should be the most, well, obviously besides the families, I think the union should be the most furious.
I was just going to say, where's the union in all this? That's a union worker.
All of these guys were unionized. You know, and again,
which union do they say?
I'm not sure. But, you know, if I was the health and safety, I don't know. Let me rephrase this. As a union, this should not be accepted. As workers, this should not be accepted. The Ministry of Labor shouldn't even accept this. But this is, again, my opinion. Right? But
this is a Ministry of Labor that actually copped to this deal.
No, the Ministry of Attorney General. Once it gets out of the hands of the Ministry of Labor, the inspector, the management sign off, pass it off. They pass the binder and say, here's the case.
This is criminal.
It should have been criminal. Criminal negligence causing death.
So who dropped the ball here? The Canadian justice system?
So let's talk about during this time. During this time that this happened, it was during COVID. inspectors may have not been out in force. You know, some of them may have been working from home, and not to put the onus on the inspectors, but again, when the cat's away, the mice come out and play. This was also during a time where I think it was close to 40 inspectors were all on suspended pay leave under investigation.
Another episode. Oh, I remember that.
Another episode. Don't even ask.
I remember that. You were mentioning, you hinted at that. Yeah.
So was there any enforcement present out here during this time, during this big window? Probably not. All right. Now, again, that's the past. How things played out is how they played out. And maybe one day we'll have one of these workers that have voiced that they want to come on the show to talk about some of the things that cracked down.
Oh, I'd like to bring on the families of the workers that have fallen and have a conversation with them.
That's a tough conversation. They didn't
sign an NDA.
I think this lawyer that pleaded this thing out should go and talk to the families. That's what I think. But
to be a lawyer these days, you have no conscience.
Listen, I get the wheeling and dealing. Listen, there's 20 charges. Let's you know, it's your options on the back. Trial without an option.
That's low.
This is $250,000, man.
I told you before on previous shows, I think the company should be closed down. I think that the owners of the company and everybody associated with this should never be allowed to work in construction ever again in all of this country.
This owner and this supervisor should be in jail.
Yeah.
Period. And again, that's my opinion, not the opinion of a lot of people.
You
don't put
them in jail. You never let them do construction work.
Are they going to go work at McDonald's?
Let them. They can build that.
I don't know, Manny, but one thing's for sure. This one is not sitting well with the people out in our industry. Not at all.
That's recent, too, that just went public, right? January 22nd,
2025, that they released this. So you can imagine today's what, the 24th?
2 days after Trump got in.
Is that how we're classifying time now?
Trump Day.
Holy cow. But listen, this one was bullshit.
I agree. 100%.
And again, why the police did not pursue criminal negligence in this case, I have no idea, man. I have no idea. This looked like a slam dunk case when it happened. And here we are.
So that was the date of offense was August, what, 8th of 2022. And then the date of conviction was November 2024. And then it was posted to the board in January of this year. I saw that. That's fine. That's heart-wrenching, man. That's heart-wrenching. It's disgusting. I told you before, I have a problem with all the people around the people that lost their lives.
Of course. But this is a reflection more on our justice system. This is a reflection of, you know, we talk about the criminal and bail reform and all that, and you commit a crime and you're out the next day. You know, this also talks to, like, obviously the negligence part, but our justice system and how they're pursuing things. And, you know, it's COVID and we're short-staffed and we're doing everything through Zoom meeting and, you know, I'm working from home. There's a lot of things that are happening now. Even our court system, hey, you trial by option, but you can call into your trial and you... What?
I know. It's all crap.
What?
It's all crap.
These guys are working from home doing prosecutions? What?
Anything else you want to share about trenches?
Yeah, we're going to keep going here.
Oh, we have? Okay.
We have a little bit more. So these are some of the comments that we got when we posted this. Calls for tighter regulations, job site control mount after Ajax trench collapse kills two workers. And these were, we weren't pulling any punches on this one. If the MOL isn't doing proactive inspections, do stricter regulations even matter? You can have books and books of regulations if nobody's enforcing it, right?
Nope.
And again, it's like announcing a ride blitz with no police checks. Unfortunately, that's exactly what we felt. So some of the comments that we got, MOL only come to our sites when invited. It's a fucking joke, man. I work for a big builder. Safety is so pathetic on most sites. It's all about the schedule and getting their bonus. Okay? And we have a lot more of these types of comments than, oh, MOL's the best, and these inspectors really helped me out in this. And again, not a reflection. This was a crazy time. Weather inspectors were in the field. Some were being suspended. Some, you know, COVID. So I get
when it. When that person says big builder, do you think high rise or do you think subdivision?
I'm automatically thinking high rise for some reason.
Me too.
And then next one, not to take away from what the MOL isn't doing, not much. Why aren't municipal inspectors flagging these unsafe sites? Inspectors go around all day to review and verify work. They can't notice if a trench or a hole is missing a box, shoring, slope, etc. In my opinion, they should have some sort of safety training and be responsible to look out and flag unsafe work.
1,000+ jobs, 5 employees. That's my argument to that, right? So get 1,000 inspectors. Nope, we don't have the money for it.
Listen, you can have 1,000 inspectors, but if they're all working from home, you're not doing anything, right? You need, again, with any enforcement agency, you need qualified, skilled people that are competent, knowledge, training, and experience, and can go out there and address problems and solve problems and be part of specialized initiatives and can target certain industries and target certain sectors, target certain hazards, go in there, bing, 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 get out, do your job, next.
What you need is an employee of the government that's working for the MOL that has 2 eyes, 2 ears, and a hand that can write down notes and take pictures with their smartphone. That's what you need. So go to all these job sites, you see a trench, there's no shoring, there's no sloping going on, you photograph, and then you give it to your supervisor and you start laying the charges.
And the supervisor in this case is the one that told the workers to get in the hole. You know what I'm saying, Manny? And MOL inspectors can't be everywhere. This isn't, you know what I mean? There's too much going on, especially at peak construction here in our city. You know there's too much going on,
You know that in 8 years of Ford premier government, he's increased the provincial debt $27 billion? And you got to wonder, where did that money go?
Well,
what was the going rate, your salary for an MOL inspector?
Listen.
60, 70 grand a year?
Probably give or take.
$27 billion the debt's gone up in 8 years of him.
They have zero to show for it.
That's what I mean.
Every government agency in this province is failing.
1,000 workers.
Whether it's the education system, whether it's the healthcare system, whether it's the safety system, whether it's the judicial system, they're all failing.
Purge government, man. I'll tell you that right now.
So I don't know what kind of policies these guys are talking about, man. But anyways, it's election year, so according to them, everything is good.
This doesn't mean shit.
But again, this one hit me on a personal level, and the way I'm explaining it, the way I'm talking about it, I'm speaking for a lot of people here on this one, right? Again, you know, it comes down to some of the things that are happening in construction industry and health and safety. You're looking at these pictures. I got it, man. So
are these videos?
No, these are no videos. This is just me going inside a trench. This is actually a shaft to a tunnel. You know, just to highlight.
You took the photo?
Yeah, one of the guys that was in there took the photo.
Okay.
Right? And this is, you know, you have to go into these places as a safety professional, as an MOL inspector, whatever it may be. You got to go into these places. You got to crawl in the shaft. You got to take a look at the tunnel. You got to take a look at the measurements. You got to take a look at the shoring. If you are relying just on drawings and what people are telling you is happening, you know, you're going to be misled.
Everyone, look at the second photo on the left, on the bottom right corner. You can see the label on the hard hat there.
Stop, I've changed the channel. I forgot to block that one out. Right?
The other photos were redacted.
But listen.
But I noticed that you left the MyS1 one.
Oh, yeah. No, I promote. I get paid to promote plug. My own company. Yeah, I'm the plug. But
you're right. That's 100%. You're right, yeah.
The reality is this should have been Metron 2.0.
This should have been a reactive what not to do and never have this happen ever again.
All of these people should have been charged. A few of them should have been in jail. Sure, with a $200,000 fine.
I would love it to happen to that same company, same owner, same everything.
You're a company. You pay a safety consultant or you have a safety team. That safety team costs a couple $100,000 to run per year, right? Just in salaries alone. Why? You don't need any of those things. You don't even need the trench box, apparently, if you're only paying a $200,000 fine. $200,000 fine is two F-150s.
$750,000 fine.
Jail. Period. I'd love to see these guys in there for 3.5 years, 4 years.
You
take
their livelihood. You never allow
them
to.
One way or another, $200,000, this is a spit in the face of the families. This is a disgrace to the entire judicial system. This is an embarrassment.
So the Canadian justice system is at fault here.
I don't know, man.
Ultimately.
I think there should be an appeal. I think there should be an internal investigation into how this happened.
Can the Crown appeal?
I don't know. They made the deal.
No, hey, you can't appeal a deal.
Sure,
that you made.
There's. Yeah, I don't know, man. They've done it.
They got the family to sign NDAs.
Maybe, maybe not.
They have to. Any smart lawyer would.
Listen, NDAs don't help in this situation. This is
no, but that means the families can't talk about it. They got their check and that's it. And today's economy, $125,000, that's a lot of money.
Again, the families don't receive this
money. I disagree with it. Where's the money go?
Do they even pay it?
That's
is it even
question.
Collected?
Exactly.
Hi, I can't afford to pay the $200,000 fine. It's going to take me 17 years to pay this. I'll be paying on a monthly basis of $500 or something. You know what I mean? Like, this is just insulting. This is insulting to say the least. And, you know, the inspectors, the people that were out there, they're familiar with this. I know you know that this shouldn't have gone down like this. And that's my rant on this one. And I really hope that they can manage to fix this. But who knows, man? But this is ugly and embarrassing.
See, it's kind of misleading, huh? Yeah, you could fit six numbers there. It could have been $100,000. It could have been $200,000.
I mean, this one, and correct me, someone correct me out there, please, if I'm wrong, but the $2 million max fine was already in play when this incident happened.
See what I mean?
Okay. $250,000.
The crown's at fault here.
This owner has more high-end cars in his garage worth more money than this $250,000. Anyways, I'm leaving
it on. If I was the family, I'd take that $125,000 and buy a lot of gasoline and jerry cans.
Man, listen.
That's all I'm saying is just buy gasoline. That's all. I didn't say anything else.
What else did I say?
I didn't say anything.
I'm worried sometimes
anything.
Where you go with these
I
things.
I didn't understand like that. No.
One thing's for sure, man. This is gross.
It's wrong.
It's ugly.
There's nothing right about it.
Anyways, let's see how this plays out, but
it's going to disappear. It's going to wash out.
Sure. Even the writing of this bulletin sound washed.
I've told you before, Canadians are really good at one thing, forgetting what's been done to them.
Oh, yeah. No, we're going to remind a lot of people about a lot of things on this show. Anyways, that's my rant for today, Manny.
Thanks, Phil.
Boils my blood, and I hope somehow, some way, this family gets the justice it deserves.
That's
Thank
it,
you, man.
You're listening to Safety Corner, powered by TCL and S1, for workers by workers. Online and in-person health and safety programs and training available in 10 plus languages. Reach out to them at www.mys1.ca and DM them at my_S1 for more information.